I'm not sure what to think about the weather outside. Had this been actually a true democratic operated country, I would question, are you giving me the cold shoulder? But since I know that you had nothing to do with it, I will just bear with it with you. We're actually going to start this morning. What happened there? We're going to start this morning in session 7. We're going to reverse the last two, so you're going to be looking at page 48 in your books. And it's, where do we go from here? Well, we've learned this week that the first thing that we need to do is detect our spiritual gifts. This is accomplished by exploring the possibilities. How do these things work? Over the past several days, we have learned that gifts, what gifts are. Anybody want to give a quick explanation of what gifts are, quickly? That's a perfect explanation there, Dana. Thank you so much. Yes, it is God enabling you to do something that you wouldn't normally be able to do. It's maybe something that could have been learned, but in your case, it's God giving you the ability to do it, and you didn't necessarily take any training on it. The next thing we want to do is learn the gift's functions. How do they work in the church? How are they used together? How are they practiced in the home and on the job? And we learned what characterized them. We learned that there are strengths and there are weaknesses for each gift. And we learned that we need to keep talking about them. We need to learn what others think. We need to develop our own belief and conviction for them. We need to read about them. We need to think about them. We need to study about them. You see, the more effort we put into it, the more comfortable we become with what they are. You see, it's easy to talk about something that you know about. I'm going to pick on one of the older guys here who should know quite a bit. Tom, you're a farmer, or were, right? You should know, and Don back there, you guys should know quite a bit about that, right? Well, tell me, what is an EM drive?
Something to do with computers, I think.
No. An EM drive is an electromagnetic propulsion device. What can you tell us about it? How does it work?
I can't.
Really? It's been developed for like 15 years already, and NASA's using it to figure out how to propel a spaceship to Pluto and bring it back in 15 years without using any energy.
Maybe Don can.
Don! You see, you don't know about it because you're not in the space industry, are you? But had I asked you a question about farming, you would have said, well, what do you want to know about it? You got to specify a little bit. Which part of it do you want to know? Do you want to learn about how to plant? Do you want to learn how to harvest? Do you want to learn how to take care of these crops, how to grow them better? You could have given me all kinds of answers, right? The more we know about the spiritual gifts, the easier it is for us to talk to others about that. Develop your own convictions. Then we want to experiment with them. Hopefully we're not blowing things up like this guy is, But it's okay. It's okay if we do things and we get it wrong. It's okay if you go and you teach and like I did last night and you fall flat on your face. Okay? It's okay. That's how we experiment with them. Know what gifts you don't have. Find out who has them. So that you together can make the church function better. Accept assignments that require exercising various gifts. Now, young people, this is where it is the most important for you to stretch yourself. Because you have the gifts, you just may not know that you have them yet because you haven't had to use them. So take things. Don't be assigned a task and then decide not to show up that day because you don't want to do it. Okay? Accept it. Be challenged by it. Do it multiple times and then you'll know. And then you can start saying, well, that's not quite my gifting. Experiment with them. Next, we want to examine... Accept assignments that require exercising various gifts. Then we want to examine our feelings. Do you feel joy? Does it make you excited? Or does it... Is it tough? Does it... Oh, I just don't want to do this. Oh... Do I have to? And you feel like people are dragging you into it. If that's the case, then you probably don't have that gift. Do you feel fulfilled? Well, here we go again. Do you feel joy or despair? Do you feel pleasure or drudgery? And do you feel fulfilled or drained? The positive feelings you are feeling are likely the evidence that you have the gift. On the contrary, the negative feelings are probably evidence that you don't necessarily have that gift, but that you can exercise it. Next, we want to evaluate our effectiveness. Are you producing fruit? Are the results visible? What are people saying about what I am doing? How is your family responding to you? Ask questions. Don't be afraid to say, how was that? Did I do okay? Are people's lives being changed? Oh my, I'm falling behind here again. Are people's lives being changed? If you have the gift of exhortation, then people are being encouraged. If you have the gift of healing, people are being healed. If you have the gift of evangelism, people are getting saved. They're coming to know Christ. If you have the gift of leadership, people are following you. Or the gift of hospitality. You always have people at your home and you just enjoy it. You may not know them, but they're there. If you have the gift of knowledge, you enjoy doing research. And people are using what you have discovered to be able to teach others. Not that you're doing the teaching, but that it's being used. The gift of wisdom. Are people following your counsel? Are they coming to you for advice? Voluntary poverty. people are challenged to give more. Yes, this is a true gift. It is a very tough gift. It is a very rewarding gift. We were in the house of a man who had this gift. He had a large family. His wife did not have this gift. This man had a very good business. He made a lot of money. And yet his family lived like they had nothing. We stayed with them, and his wife's best knife was not straight like this. It had been sharpened so many times that it had a big bow in it. His children had patches upon patches upon patches on their clothes. Even their very best clothes that they wore to church had a patch or two on it. But it wasn't a patch on a patch. It was hard for this lady to understand what is going on here. Why can't we have what other people have? And it wasn't until she understood her husband's gift that they knew what was going on. And once he knew what was going on and how negatively this was affecting his family, was he able to then make a change. But this gift allows you to identify with people in your community that cannot make as much as you. It allows you to go into a community and live like them. It is a special enabling of God to be able to do that. That is not natural for most people. The gift of giving. People are blessed by your gifts. My mom had this gift. Boy, everything we had seemed to get given away. The gift of pastor. People feel your compassion. They feel your loving arms around them. They feel that you really can identify with them. The gift of pastor. The gift of missionary. Other ethnic people hear your message. You're not staying at home, you're going out. You have a desire to meet those people. The downside here is that people with the gift of missionary tend to put off who they were. They put off the culture that they had. They can look down on it in order to reach the people that they are trying to reach. And they can tend to overlook true deep spiritual needs there. Missionary. The gift of miracles. People come to you with prayer concerns and you earnestly pray about it. You seek out these concerns that you can pray for. The gift of teaching. Are people learning from your instruction? Do you find it easy to study for and easy to be able to communicate that information? The gift of helps. Are the little jobs getting done? They look little to you. But you see needs all over the place and you just go and you just do it. The gift of helps. The gift of mercy. You're helping the misfortunate. Those who cannot help themselves. The gift of administration. Are things getting organized? The gift of celibacy. You're single and you're glad of it. This one, many young people laugh at, but this is a gift to be desired. I had to learn to practice this before God would give me a wife. To be okay with it. You see, this gift is special. It enables you to do things that married people can't do because they're too busy with their families. It enables you to put more time into the kingdom. the gift of prophecy. People are being warned. They're hearing from God. The gift of martyrdom. This is the one that I spoke the first night about my grandmother having. Are you suffering for the Lord? The gift of faith. Are you having visions or sights of the future? Discernment. Are you detecting error? Do things just stand out to you as being wrong? Do you sense when evil spirits are around? The gift of apostle. Are you managing programs? The gift of tongues. Are you a good communicator? The gift of service. Do you find it easy to do a job? I'm sorry, to find a job to do. And the gift of interpretation. If you have this one, you're helping people to understand difficult concepts. If you spend time working with your gifts, you can expect confirmation from the body. Others will comment on how they are being affected by your ministry. They're taking notice. How do we activate our gifts? How do we make them come alive? How do we put them into action? Well, first, personally commit to active church involvement. Be committed to the church that you are in. Use your gifts there. This is something you choose to do. In college, I had an older gentleman there. He was retired. And he would just come in and he would volunteer his time. And I had developed a friendship with him. And he wanted me to go to lunch with him. And I just wasn't really interested. And after multiple times of asking, he finally told me, "Dwight, you only have time for the things that you want to make time for." I went to lunch with him. Determine to dedicate at least 4 hours a week to a job in the church. 4 hours. It's not much. Take notice of the work being done and who's doing it. Who else is serving in the church? They're the ones you want to team up with. Let's get the job done. Give moral support to the other workers through positive comments. You see, there's things in this church that are difficult for you. Because you're not gifted in that area, but their gifting enables them to do it very easily. Take notice of that. Give them comments of affirmation so that they can feel built up and will continue using it. Don't be afraid of it. Remember, they're not going to get a big head about it because it's just who they are. It's just the way they work. Give those comments freely. Corporately, as a church, make a list of all the potential jobs in the church. And I understand that after the last time this seminar was given, you did this. That's wonderful. Make sure everybody has a job in the church. Distribute that list to all members. Pray and volunteer for the various jobs. attempt jobs that you have never done before, but you would like to try it. And experience the joy of serving and blessing others. There is joy in this. And as you do this, watch your church. It will get excited. People will start taking notice. You will see growth, and the mission of Christ will be accomplished. Many of you have been wondering how to score your survey. And it has come to my attention that we have had a number of people cheating. Is that true? Should I have gotten us an alternate test? No, that is okay. I know that many of you have had this material before. And it is fun to be able to take this again and find out. But I want you to turn to this table 1, and I don't know which page this is. Page 70. This tends to be the best place to write these in. Of course, we've got on the left-hand side all these gifts. You have filled out your score, your wife or husband's score, or your parent's score. You've totaled it up, and you know which ones over here are the highest. And now we're going to want to write in here what these gifts are. Drum roll, please. All right, here they are. Gift A is prophecy. Gift B is pastor. Gift C, teaching. D, wisdom. E, knowledge. F, exhortation. G, discernment. H, giving. I is helps. J is mercy. K, missionary. L, evangelist. M is hospitality. N, the gift of faith. O, the gift of leadership. P, the gift of administration. Q, miracles. R, healing. S, the gift of tongues. T, interpretation. U, voluntary poverty. B, celibacy. W, the gift of apostle. X, martyrdom. And Y, the gift of service. What I like to do after I know what those gifts are is turn to page, and actually, I guess the youth were on page 60, weren't they? page 61, and it must be 71. You'll find that table number 5. And there you should have been able to get down to 4 to 6 gifts, somewhere in there. I like to record what I've tested in that area, just to make it easier to see. It's also helpful to go ahead and fill out tables 2, 3, and 4 with the same information so that you can see what some of these other possible gifts are that you might have. Now, once again, the gift test is skewed because it is a human test of something spiritual. But these are the areas that you want to begin practicing, to begin using, to understand. Use the section in the back that talks about your individual gift. Study that. Know the strengths and the weaknesses that are on there. See how that applies to your life. Are these weaknesses true? Can you see them evidenced? Learn how it benefits the body. And if you haven't done it yet, do the study at the front of the book. Start with the gifts that you have. The study at the front of the book is really intended to give proof that this gift is really something scriptural. So study it. See what people in the Bible did with the gift. Young people, take a look at the next page. Look at the jobs that you can perform in the church and what secular jobs you might would enjoy. It'll help give direction for your life as you get out of school and get to that point where it's just like, wow, what do I do next? It'll give direction. Talk with your parents about it. We're actually finishing up a little bit early here, so I'm going to open the time up just for maybe a few questions, which is I do with a little bit of fear and trepidation. But if I can't answer it, I know there's a lot of other wise men here that can probably help me. What questions might you have this morning about the gifts? Okay. Well, first, pick up one of those spare books back there. As Sheldon mentioned this morning, these messages were recorded. I will not be listening to them, but they're there for you to listen to. So you can go through the study, if you haven't been here, on your own time. This church has been very good at promoting them. So talk with the ministers here. I know the youth are looking at studying them a little deeper. If you're a youth, be at the youth group. Go to those meetings. And I would say that the biggest thing in learning about the gift is coming and plugging into the church and taking roles in the church that stretch you so that you can begin to get that experience so that when you do take the survey at the back, it will be more accurate.
Share a little bit on the gift of the pastor. I heard him preach one Sunday, and I just came across an article. He memorized the whole New Testament. And now I came across another article. He's 91 years old. He had heart surgery, had cancer, and God healed him.
Wow.
And he's preaching again. And he says he studies the Bible 6 hours a day. And now he memorized the whole Bible.
Wow.
And it just amazed me. To think in memorizing the whole Bible, you'd think that's almost impossible. But with God, you can do anything. And I'd just like to share that with everybody here that I came across that article. And I heard him preach. Saw him personally.
Thank you for that. Yeah, we're going to be getting that into that in the next session here. Yeah, thank you. Harold was just saying that the gift of pastor is not necessarily the same as the office of the pastor. Mm-hmm. All right, well, I'm not going to belabor this. I think I'm actually going to go ahead and close here and give us maybe just a little bit longer intermission. That way we have time to get out and get back in. We were planning 5 minutes. Maybe we'll say 10 minutes that you can go out and come back in, and we'll start back in with some songs. But let's just pray here. Father in heaven, we are grateful for your blessings on us. We're grateful for this time of being able to come together and learn about the gifts. Father, as we have written down these gifts and as we have taken this test and things are being revealed to us, would you help us to accept them? Father, would we accept them as a precious gift from you, something to be desired? Father, would you help us to put them into practice? Father, would you bless us as we continue through this service? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Email or what church they attend. But this is the question. It says, how do you exercise your gift if you're not in a church that allows you to exercise them or does not believe in spiritual gifts or is governed by politics? First of all, I would say hold to your belief that the gifts that have been given to you are given to you by God. Understand them. Be submissive to your church. Put yourself under the authorities that God has put in place. Pray about it. Go to your leaders and talk to them about it. Tell them your feelings. Tell them that you have discovered your gift and that these are what they are. Tell them your vision for how they can be used. You see, it's difficult sometimes for us to be able to see the whole picture. And sometimes the things that we think we see or the things that we want to do are not best for the church. So be submissive. If you are continuing to feel God leading you, to continue to feel Him spurning you to use this gift in a way that the church does not allow you to, He may be asking you to leave. We spoke a few nights ago about needing to choose the team on which we are able to plug in. You may not be on the right team, I'm sorry to say. Believe, submit, pray, let the Spirit lead you. The other question that I received was about if I wasn't able to listen to this or be here, where can I find the information online? I don't have the information hosted anywhere. Your church on their website has recorded the messages that were presented here. Like I said, I'm not listening to it because, boy, that I would get sick listening to myself talk. But you're welcome to go listen to it. I did present the same material to the Bethel Church in Holmes County last year. They videoed it. You may be able to find those videos on their website. That's the Bethel Church in Holmes County. Again, I'm not going to be watching them, but you're free to do that. Can you actually take me to session 6? We are backing up to session 6, which is on page 45 of your workbooks there, and it's entitled How Gifts Differ from Other Attributes. Logan, you may have to actually scroll down to the end of the last session, and it's not at the bottom of the PowerPoint. It's probably about halfway up. How Gifts Differ from Other Attributes. You see, we have to distinguish between gifts and roles. There is a difference. With every gift, there is also a role that must be practiced. Gifts, we find, are given to certain individuals by God. We've been listening to this. We've been hearing their special enabling. But there is also a role that all must practice and uphold. That's the practice part. That's where we have to all practice every gift, is in the role of that gift. For a gift, it is the way one is or makes the person who they are, would be your gifting. For the role, it's what one does or the way one lives. For a gift, it is to be used in a structured fashion. When you practice it in a role, it tends to be in a more casual fashion. Most people have 10 hours or less to give to religious services each week. This is 1 week. 7 days. 10 hours is only 6% of the week. It's a small percentage. And between Sunday morning services, Sunday evening services, Wednesday prayer meeting, and other meetings during the week, we take up about 5 to 6 hours of those 10 hours. The remaining 4 to 5 hours should be used in your area of giftedness. How does that look? Well, if you have the gift of teaching, you should be studying and preparing to teach in the church. If you're an evangelist, you're participating in activities with the lost. You're giving time. If it's hospitality, you're entertaining people in your home on a systematic basis. Healing. You're praying for the sick. Physically, emotionally, mentally. You're spending time on your knees. That counts towards this 6%. You have the gift of faith. You are believing. You can do this while you're at work. But in the role, which we are all required to do, happens in a more casual fashion. For teaching, it may just be at home training your children. Not necessarily part of that 6%, but you are practicing the gift. Evangelism. You can all evangelize. It's not hard to give a testimony. It's just stating what God has done for you. Be willing to do it. It lifts the body. Hospitality. Doesn't matter if you have it or not. You can have people come to your house for a meal. You can clean up every once in a while. It's okay. The gift of healing. Can you pray? Can you ask God to help someone? Yes, we can all do that. We can all practice these roles. Another area that we want to look at is gifts and callings. Hopefully these two are interrelated. For instance, a person can be called to pastor, in which case we would want to see the gifts of pastor, administration, leadership, faith, prophecy, apostle, some combination. We would want to see these gifts associated with this calling. What about a deacon? Well, we would want to see the gifts of service, mercy, or hospitality. Or a treasurer, we would want to see the gift of wisdom, faith, administration, giving, and discernment. You see, the calling can be met by a number of different gifts. You don't have to have the gift of pastor to be a pastor. The calling is ideally the particular way God wants to use your gift. And I'm sorry, I got to catch up here. It's a particular way God wants to use your gift. For instance, a person with the gift of teaching could be somebody that teaches children's classes, could teach adult classes. Maybe they teach high school or college or Bible college. Maybe they teach on the radio and they're not in front of anybody, but the people hear them. For the church to be effective, everyone should have a job, an office, a calling, based on their gifting. On the other hand, if you are being called and you don't have the gifts that are needed for that particular calling, it is your responsibility to let that be known. A third area that we want to look at is gifts and natural talents, or learned talents. Gifts and talents may resemble one another. For instance, the gift of administration could look like a talent for organization. The gift of leadership could look like a talent for setting goals. Or the gift of teaching could look like a talent for good communication. But what about being artistic? It's a talent. I can learn how to be artistic, maybe. But you see, there's no gift of artistry. Or a talent for being able to play any kind of instrument. We've got a number of people in our church that they can just pick up an instrument and just start playing it. We've got a little boy. He's, I think he's 8. Has been able to pick up the mandolin and can just play it. No teaching. It's a talent. There's no gift of musical instruments. What about a talent for financial prowess? There's no such gift as that. Or a talent for craftsmanship. Somebody who's detailed, loves to build furniture, or anything else. Okay? There's no gift of craftsmanship. Gifts can be transformed talents. You see, talents are learned and can attract one's particular interest. You can be taught how to do something. Gifts, on the other hand, occur naturally through spirit rebirth. Remember, the first thing you have to do is be a Christian before you will receive it. Through that spiritual rebirth and the spirit indwelling, you can have spiritual gifts. When gifts are at work, content of the talent changes. Prior to conversion, one may have produced for personal gain versus the edification of the church. Those of you who have been here all week know that my line of work is that of an architect and that I build churches. I've got one church that I'm building right now, in which the executive director, a woman, before she became a Christian, was a very successful businesswoman. She had started a number of businesses. They were very lucrative. They did not edify the church. And when God called her, when she surrendered her life to Christ, He called her to put away these things and to go to work for the church. She discovered, oh, I actually got the gift of administration. She's also got the gift of faith. This particular church was, I don't know, about $1.5 million still in debt from a prior construction project. Well, they're getting ready to try and do a $12 million project. And nobody's going to lend anything to them. So we sent an associate that we know who helps churches figure out their finances, how they help them raise money, or even go to banks and ask for money, come and talk to them. And they said, no, we don't need your help. He said, what do you mean? You've got a lot of money to raise. And said, we're not going to raise money. What? No, we're just going to trust that God's going to bring it in. We're not going to ask anybody for it. We don't need a loan. And he laughed at him. You're crazy. A testament to her faith, the very next day, somebody walked in off the street and gave her a $1 million check. That's God. Content of the talent changes. She was no longer doing this for personal gain, but for the edification of the church. Context changes. People feel the presence of the Spirit. You see, a talent may have been used at one point in music, in a bar, for evil, versus post becoming a Christian, using their talent in the church to build up the body. We also see that character changes. One's desire to build up the body. People feel the presence of evil before, but they feel the presence of the Spirit afterwards. I have another church that I'm working with, in which the executive pastor had been a homeless man. He had come out of a very poor family and got into drugs, got into alcohol, and was living on the street, begging for his next meal. And after coming to Christ and giving himself up, he discovered he had the gift of administration. And he began using his talents in the church. Commendation changes. What? Praise. Getting commended. You see, one quickly detects the supernatural at work. So, you may have been a performer, accepting praise. Thank you very much. Oh, don't stop, please. Thank you. Where afterwards, oh, it wasn't me. God did that. I couldn't have done that. Commendation changes. Talents have nothing to do with being a Christian. Both Christians and non-Christians alike have talents. But only Christians possess spiritual gifts. Another area we want to look at is that of gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. If you'd like, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verses 1 through 3. And it reads, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am becoming a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profits me nothing. You see, spirit fruit results from practicing the spiritual gifts. It is a result of it. In Matthew 7:17 through 20, Jesus said, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. By their fruit, you will recognize them, he says. You see, all Christians are filled with the Holy Spirit and should exemplify all the fruit of the Spirit. Say them with me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you are using your gifts, fruit will be evident. The closer we walk with God, the greater our fruit becomes. Spiritual gifts, according to this verse in this chapter in verse, this passage in 1 Corinthians 13, says that gifts are worthless without the Spirit's fruit. You see, it doesn't matter if you speak in tongues, if you prophesy, if you understand all mysteries, have the deepest knowledge or faith that can move a mountain, if you do not back it up with fruit, it is all meaningless and profits you and the church nothing. Another area that we have to be very careful in distinguishing between is that of gifts and counterfeit gifts. Jesus predicted that there would be counterfeits. In Matthew 24:24 reads this way, he said, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive even the very elect. Even you! It is hard to imagine this. How can I be deceived like this? I've been a Christian all my life. You see, we should never forget that Satan is a supernatural being and he has supernatural powers. Do you remember Pharaoh's magicians? When Moses went in there and performed these signs and miracles that God enabled him to do? Almost every single time these magicians would do the same thing. In the body or the church, there is need for one who can detect these evil workings. The gift of discernment. Unfortunately, the questionnaire that you take is flawed. And for some reason, it often says that people have this gift of discernment. And yet, the gift of discernment is really a very rare gift. So, test it. See if it's real. See if these feelings that you're having are really what you're feeling. An example here is that of palm readers. You see, palm readers can predict future with amazing accuracy. Not because they actually know your future, but because they know how natural things work, and through their questioning of you, can influence the way you think. Another one would be that of mediums. They perform miracles by commanding evil spirits. They can open locked doors. They can produce money. They can reveal where lost articles are. Not because they have the power or the knowledge, but because they are tapped into a large array of evil spirits, i.e. demons. Counterfeit healings. You often see this in third world countries. Witch doctors. Oftentimes they look pretty crazy, like this guy. Not always. But you know them because they are always using objects in their healing that shouldn't work. They are neither biblically based nor medically founded. So you might see them placing an egg on a hurt spot to draw out the pain. Or they may lay their hands on an area that hurts and you may feel a warm sensation. Counterfeit. Matthew 5, 22 and 23 reads like this. It says, "Many to me will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." I want to tell you a little story on the witch doctor there. My brother-in-law was suffering from... He just had, his blood was infected, and he's been struggling with it for years and years and years. He had Lyme's disease, and it's just causing lots of problems. And he had heard about this doctor in Florida. And he would filter your blood. He would remove the impurities. And so he went down there seeking help. And this guy appeared to be a medical doctor and examined him, but not really like a medical doctor would do, and prescribed some herbal things that he could maybe do to help. And he said, "Well, I've heard about this thing that you do about filtering blood. Is that a possibility?" And he said, "Well, let's check." He said, "Hold out your arm." And he held out his arm. And he had a list there of all these diseases. And he said, "All right." And he would say the name of the disease and he would push down on his arm. "Nope, not that one." He'd say the next one and he'd push down on it. "Nope, not that one." And he got to this one disease and he pushed down on it. "Yep, okay, yes, we can do that for you. I'm sorry. Modern day witch doctor operating in this country. Be aware." What about the differences between gifts and offices? You see, gifts are assignments given to man by God. Assignments given to man by God. Offices are assignments given to man by man. It would be a job in the church. For example, the office of apostle would be that of an overseer, a superintendent. The gift of apostle would be that of the 12 apostles. It is one who is sent, an ambassador, a representative of. Or the office of pastor or minister. But the gift of pastor is that of being able to shepherd, to tend to the spiritual needs of people. The office of an evangelist would be someone who is involved in revivals, prison ministry, work in the city. The gift of evangelism is someone who brings souls to Christ. You can do this from your own neighborhood. Talk to your neighbors. Do you know them? You know, it is unfortunate that many people in the church today do not talk to their neighbors. We are missing opportunities every day by the people that are right around us. Another area that we need to understand is that we must determine a philosophy regarding spiritual gifts. Know where you stand. This is difficult for me because it's philosophical. There's no right and wrong that we know. It's what people think about the spiritual gifts. So I'm going to lead you through a number of things here that I see parts and pieces of them that I believe are true, and other parts that I think, well, that's just a little bit far-fetched, okay? So we're going to look at this. And the first one is that of progressive distribution. And within this philosophy, there are two schools of thought. It is defined as a person develops and matures spiritually, God disperses more gifts. This is the first school of thought. So as you begin to work in the church, as you serve, God just keeps giving you more and more gifts. He just keeps coming back and giving you another one. And maybe by the end of your life, if you live to as old as Miss Mary here, you may have all the gifts. The other school of thought would say, God distributes necessary gifts. He gives and takes away depending on your need at the time. So you may have reached up to 5 or 6, and by the end of your life, you may not have any anymore. Another concept is that of determined distribution. This group would say that God disperses the gifts at conversion. To defend this, they use 5 analogies, or they make comparisons with something else. So they would say that their first analogy is that of the body system. And they would look at a baby and say, well, you know, this baby has everything packaged into this little gift that they will need all the way through adulthood. Their hands may be tiny, but they're still the same hands. They just kind of grow a little bit. It's still the same nose and eyes and ears and mouth. So they would say that this gift is the same gift. It's just growing. Jesus used the analogy of the body when speaking about spiritual gifts. So it somewhat maybe makes sense. What about the analogy of the Holy Spirit? Here they say, we do not believe in a second works of grace theology, where the Spirit must come a second time to complete perfecting what it has already started. The Spirit is already here. It's not going and coming back and going and coming back. It's brought everything it needs. It's connected to God. They would say it brings the whole package when you are regenerated, and that as you begin to develop those gifts, they mature to being able to use them. I believe there's a lot of truth there. They would look at an analogy of a building. And they look at 1 Corinthians 3:9 and they say, for we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. So they would say, okay, well, this idea of a building is scriptural. And we can look at a building and determine its age simply by the way it was built or the condition that it is in. You can probably drive through this area, and those of you who are builders can pretty much look at a building and say, yeah, that was built in the 50s or the 40s. Or I bet Don could do that. Okay? The siding may be dirty and faded, but it's still the same siding. I want to look at this building right here. This is the Duomo in Milan. It is considered to be the most beautiful building in all Christendom. Every square inch of the exterior of this building is covered in Carrara marble, a white marble. Even the roof is paved with marble. I had the privilege of going and taking this picture in 2006, and because I was there as an architect student, I was able to climb on the roof and see things that you can't see from the ground. It's a magnificent structure. Everything is carved, and you see all of these little figurines way up in here that nobody would ever see from the ground. It's beautiful, and the inside is just as beautiful. But instead of using all white marble, they used every color of marble from all over the world. Here we're standing in the nave looking through across the altar at the transept, looking into their sanctuary, which is at the apse end of the building. It's beautiful. They've got tapestries hanging, stained glass windows that just is magical to look at. Okay? It's a beautiful structure. This is what it looked like in 2006. But this is what it looks like today. It's the same building. It looks a whole lot better. What happened? They washed it. It's the same structure. They would then go and look at an analogy of development and stewardships. They say in response to the determined distributionalist that if I invest time in development of and training of my gifts only to find out that they are not permanent, today's training ends up being of little or no value for tomorrow. Yes, I can see their point here some. That the gift that I'm given, I need to practice, I need to develop. And yet a gift is a spiritual enabling to do something. You really don't have to work real hard at it. They would look at 2 Timothy 1, I'm sorry. They would also look at the analogy of ministry and service, where they say the particular ministry in which I find myself may demand greater functioning of certain gifts in my cluster at one time than another. Or a church planter may need the gift of faith and missionary as he begins his ministry, but needs the gift of evangelist, apostle, or wisdom as he oversees and deals with unique problems and struggles in the church. You see, I believe that God does give you a unique set of gifts. He has purposed you for a particular job. And I mentioned earlier in the week that some gifts can be temporary. You see, sometimes when you are in a moment where you really can't do it, the Spirit can enable you to do it. But it may not really be your gift. It's a temporary gifting to do it. We probably possess gifts that need to be fanned into flame. 2 Timothy 1:6 reads, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gifts of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." This is where I continue to encourage you young people to practice differing gifts in the church so that you can fan them into flame. You don't know that you have them yet. They come alive as we dedicate and throw energy into them. The last thing we want to look at here is the philosophy of the refinement of the gifts. 2 Corinthians there on the screen, verses 3:18 says, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." You see, God places His gifts in a transformed spirit. The verse here says, we are transformed into His image. Our spirits are regenerated to look more like that of Christ. God is magnified through the gifts in a transformed spirit. The verse says, with ever increasing glory. as our will and emotions are transformed into His likeness, the Lord is glorified. He's magnified. We lift Him up. When we relinquish control of our will and our emotions to the Spirit, He can take control and use your specific gifts properly. Is that what you want? I hope you desire that. That what you will yearn after it, and that word that we talked about, that you will covet this. It's that deep longing that God would be able to use you. It has been a real joy to be here with you this week. It has been a tremendous gift to be able to see how God has used the gifts in this church, how over the years you have put them into practice. And my prayer is that as you have new people come and as you continue to think about these and develop them, that God would be able to grow this church, that you would see it abound, and that the community here would be reached. Thank you so much for your attention. I hope that this has been good for you. I'm going to close with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to invite Harold to come up and actually close. Our God and Father in heaven, we are so grateful for the gifts that you have given us. We are grateful for the way that you have come into our lives and that you have regenerated us. Father, would you use these hearts? Would you humble us? Would you make us what you would have us to be? Would you continue to temper us together that we would be able to be that appearance of the bride of Christ and that we would be able to come to you on that day in your glory? Father, would you use us as we seek to fulfill that great commission that you have given us? And Father, that we would be able to unite with the churches around us in fulfilling it. Father, we yearn for your presence here. We yearn that you would use us. Would you go with us, Father? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.